around the world. The Spirit is moving and a voice is being heard. Welcome to the Voice of Evangelism with David Langford. You can write to the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. We'll give you that address again at the close of today's broadcast. But here now is David Langford.
Hello, friends. Pastor David Langford here again today, and we welcome each of you to the Voice of Evangelism International Ministries. Today is Tuesday. Today is Tuesday, December the 22nd, 2020. And ironically, this is the 22nd program of this series entitled An Evil Revolution Rising. Weeks ago, I felt constrained by the Holy Spirit of God to teach this thoroughly, not a hit and a miss, but expound as deeply as I can with my limited understanding and knowledge to the church, the body of Christ. People today are getting nothing but milk. And milk will only sustain an adult for so long. You've got to have some meat and potatoes and some good old bread. And that's what gives us strength. That's what kind of sustenance we need in this hour. Something that will nourish us, strengthen us. Because as we enter deeper into the time of the end, more and more people are going to become weak and anemic. And that's going to happen because, number one, they are failing their own lives by not praying and staying immersed in the Word of God. You've got to stay in the Word of God. Frivolous, superficial teaching and preaching will not get it done in this hour. It's not going to help you. You need that undergirding power of the Holy Spirit and God's Holy Word. And those two will be like the left wing and the right wing on a bird. He needs both of them to fly. And both wings control certain movements in the bird's flight. And in your pilgrimage and in your journey, the Word of God and the Spirit of God will control and guide you to navigate the peril and the dangers of this world. Because needless to say, this world is becoming more dangerous by the day. But that's what Jesus prophesied in Matthew 24, and we're watching it as it unfolds. I know some of you are discouraged. I know some of you are troubled. Some of you are heavily burdened. You are under an exceptional load. Your burdens are grievous. I often remind myself of Jacob in Genesis 42:36. And their father said unto them, me have you bereaved of my children. Joseph is not, Simeon is not, and you will take Benjamin away. All these things are against me. All these things. Right now, you may feel like everything in your life is against you. But just like with Jacob, everything that was taking place in his life, none of it was against him. But he couldn't see it. From his perspective, from his viewpoint, everything was against him. Joseph, it appeared early on in his life, everything was against him. Even his brothers could not speak peaceably to him. Read it, Genesis chapter 37. They just couldn't converse with him without having some kind of rancor or bitterness or clamor. They just couldn't do it. But the profound wisdom that the young man possessed, He said, you meant it for evil. God meant it for good. God can turn anything around, and God can help you to bear your burdens. The Bible says in Psalms 9 and 12, He forgetteth not the cry of the humble. I love that verse because that assures each of us, if we keep a measured degree of humility in our lives, God never forgets us. He remembereth the cry of the humble. He doesn't forget us. He never forgets. How can God, being omniscient, meaning He knows everything, how could He ever forget you? And He never forgets the cry of the humble. That's why humility is such a great aspect, a great attribute in the lives of Christians. James 4, 6, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. I'm sure there are those who would arguably say, Pastor Lankford doesn't have any humility in his life at all. God's the judge of the humility that we possess. He knows whether we have it or whether we don't. And those who have the grace, He gives grace to the humble, they endure far better than those who don't have grace. That's the vast difference. We want to pick back up with the Antichrist. We're about to enter in here to verse 4 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. That is a man full of pride. That is the exact opposite of humility. The Antichrist, as I said yesterday, is the little horn that will arise to control this last and final satanic empire or kingdom. Again, you're going to have this last seventh head. There are seven heads, and there are seven crowns on the seven heads. That's why those heads represent satanic kingdoms. You might even say dispensations, because each head has a crown, meaning it is a satanic kingdom. Revelation 12, verse 3, and there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, that's the devil, having seven heads, 10 horns, 7 crowns upon his heads. Notice the correlation here, 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns. So the 7 crowns on the 7 heads are the 7 kingdoms. But on that 7th head, that is a crown, will also have 10 horns. And on those horns are 10 crowns, showing us, demonstrating to us, this 10-king federation that will ultimately come to fruition. Revelation 13, 1, and I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads, same beast, but notice, and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads, all 7 heads, the name of blasphemy. All satanic kingdoms blaspheme God, because they are that. They are satanic. We know this according to Daniel as well. that these seven empires, seven dispensational kingdoms, Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Medo-Persian, Greece, Rome, and we're waiting for the seventh one to come. When he comes, Revelation says he will continue for a short space, a short season. It won't be long. It will only be 3.5 years. Now, it will be one of the worst 3.5 years that humanity, mankind, has ever seen. Revelation 17 and 10, there are seven kings. Five are fallen, one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. Seven kings, seven satanic dispensations, seven satanic kingdoms. Five were fallen, one is. When John wrote this, he was writing it under the auspices of the Roman Empire. One is, and he says, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue for a short space, a short time. The revelation and manifestation of the Antichrist is only 3.5 years. Now, I know you're constantly told 7 years, 7 years, 7 years, and 7 years, over and over and over. And they get that from Daniel 9:27. He shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. 1 week of years. Heptat, 7 years. I believe, with my understanding of the Bible, Jesus Christ got the first half of Daniel's 70th week. Christ's ministry was 42 months. The Bible tells us in Luke 3:23, he began his ministry at about the age of 30. Christ was born in the fall of the year. He would have been 33 in the fall of the year, bringing back up to Passover. He's 33.5 years of age. This stuff is not hard to figure out. Men convolute it, twist it, make it hard, but it's not. So let's look at Daniel chapter 7, verse 8. I considered the horns. Behold, there came up among them another little horn. Now this is that seventh empire, that seventh head, with 10 horns and 10 crowns. And in the midst of the 10 horns, there arose another little horn, before whom there were 3 of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were the eyes like the eyes of a man, and the mouth speaking great things. That phrase, speaking great things, means the Antichrist will also speak blasphemies. He will blaspheme God. And remember, there is no forgiveness for blasphemy. Jesus well said, any and every sin that men commit, they can find forgiveness. But the sin of blasphemy, Jesus said, you will never, ever find forgiveness. Now, most people don't understand blasphemy. Blasphemy is merely contributing the works of God to the devil. That's what the Pharisees did. They said the works that Jesus were doing were of the devil, the prince of Beelzebub. Matthew 12:31-32, wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin, it doesn't matter what manner of sin it is, and blasphemies shall be forgiven unto men. But the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. So when the Pharisees here in Matthew 12 declared Jesus was doing this by the prince of demons, Beelzebub, the Pharisees sealed their utter doom and destruction because they were contributing the works of the Holy Ghost to the works of the devil. Satan, again, is going to empower the Antichrist. The Antichrist is not the embodiment. The Antichrist is not the personification of Satan. He's after the working of Satan. Speaking great things, as I said here in Daniel 7 and verse 8, means blasphemies. This is just a part of the spirit of Antichrist. This is how it's going to be. The Bible describes it this way in Daniel and in the book of Revelation. He's always speaking blasphemy. Revelation 13:5, and there was given unto him a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. So the Antichrist will be in position. There's going to be a confirmation of a 7-year peace treaty. But we won't know that's the actual peace treaty until we get to the middle of the 7 years. And then, if the abomination of desolation takes place, we know that's it. And what is the abomination of desolation? When the Antichrist sits in the temple of God and declares himself to be God. That's 2 Thessalonians 2:4, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. He's going to say to the world, I'm God. A man. That's why it's going to be blasphemy. That's why it's going to be such an abomination. And then they're going to make an image of this man and say that is the image of God. And nothing man could ever make could remotely come close to the glory, the deity, and the majesty of God. Human hands can never create anything close to the deity and the majesty of God Almighty. No, nothing. That's the crazy thing about idols. Men make them, meaning they're superior to the idol, but they then turn around and worship it. That's crazy. They made a golden calf, and then they worshiped it, said, O Israel, these be thy gods, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Is that not crazy? You make it, yet you worship it? Hey, if I have the ability to make it, I'm smarter than the image, because I made the image. I created the image. This is why it's going to be utter blasphemy. It's going to be some of the craziest, bizarre, wild stuff men have ever seen or witnessed. Daniel 7:23-25. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth. That is the final kingdom. During the writing of Daniel 7 here, we've already had the Egypt, Assyrian, and now we're in the Babylonian kingdom. Then we'll have the Babylonian kingdom, Medo-Persian, Greece, Rome, and one is yet to come. So it's the fourth kingdom he's talking about here, meaning the end time kingdom, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms and shall devour the whole earth and tread it down. In other words, the whole earth. Again, he will not rule the whole earth, but he will bring, like Hitler, distress upon the entire world. One man, Adolf Hitler, brought untold distress upon the entirety of the whole world. And so it is, with the Antichrist, he's going to devour, or his sins, his filth, his abominations, his vileness will seep into all the earth. and break it in pieces. And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise. Now this proves emphatically the kingdom or the federation must first be in place before the revelation of the Antichrist. So the next time you hear a jackleg say, we're ready for the revelation of the Antichrist, say, hey, wait a minute. Before you keep pontificating that heresy, who and where is this last kingdom with 10 kings? Ask them. Duh. They'll probably say, I don't know what you're talking about. Because they don't know their Bible. Remember, this is Daniel 7, 23 through 25. And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise. It tells you these 10 horns, this kingdom must be in place first before the revelation of the Antichrist. I want to prove it here. And another shall arise after them. The little horn. The Antichrist. He's the other that shall arise after them. They have to be in place. They have to be postured. They have to have their king and their kingdoms and their 10 horns and their 10 crowns. And then, Daniel says, another shall arise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first. He shall subdue 3 kings. Where are the kings that have to be in place to be subdued? Where are they? He shall speak great words, again meaning blasphemies. And who is he blaspheming? Against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time. That is 3.5 years. That is not 7 years. So the next time one of these jacklegs says, we're about ready to see the revelation of the Antichrist, tap him on the shoulder and say, hey, pal, according to Daniel chapter 7, verses 23, 24, 25, says that this federation must come to fruition first, and then after that, he shall arise after them. You can't subdue the kings until they first are manifest. Is this hard? Is this difficult? No. Here's what they're doing to you. Another book, another DVD, another hit on YouTube. You see, they're about making money. They're not about telling the truth. It's hyperbole. It's sensationalism. Sensationalism. And that, my friend, I despise with a passion. God himself is sensational enough. You don't need to put some kind of mess on it. You don't have to put some kind of garbage out there. God, if God has called you, he's called you to emphatically preach the truth. Don't add to it. Don't take away. They forget that prophecy and revelation. You take away from God's word, he's going to take away from you. You add to God's word, he's going to add punishment to you. And they're doing this all the time, and they don't even seem to think anything about it. They just flat out lie. They just lie. They don't care. I'll tell you why they don't care. Number one, they don't have a prayer life. Number two, they don't walk with God. Number three, they are not correctly, rightly dividing the word of truth. Daniel makes it clear. This 10-kingdom federation is going to come to fruition, and after it's set in place, another shall arise after them. The word them is a pronoun, and it's plural. I mean, I remembered enough in my English class the plurality of them, those, and they. But they must be in place first. Now he has something to attach himself to, and out of the midst, going to rise this little horn. And again, Daniel says, shall be given into his hand until a time. Time is one. Times is two. Now we have three. And then we have the dividing or half of time. 3.5 years. Again, Christ got the first half of Daniel's 70th week. Then the Antichrist gets the last half of the 70th week. This is all in my book, in Revelation chapter 13, revealed. Now, why am I so adamant about that? Because all throughout Daniel and the book of Revelation, it's always 1,260 days, 42 months, time, times, and half a time. Look at it like this. How many hours are there in a day? 24. Half of those hours are a.m. The other half is p.m. Jesus got the a.m. hours. I'm going to use that as an analogy. He got that first half of the day, or the first half of the week. Then, after that 12 hours, you now go into p.m. You have 12.01 p.m., and at 12.01 a.m., you now go into another day. I explained this. It is the same day, but half of it is a.m., half of it is p.m. I try to make Bible teaching as simple as I can. We know a.m., we know p.m. After 12 o'clock today, it's p.m. 12 o'clock tonight, it goes to a.m. So from 12 o'clock a.m. to 12 o'clock p.m., you got 12 hours. This is how simple it is. Now, verse 4. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now, I've had people to want to argue with me and lambast me that the Greek word temple there is naos, N-A-O-S. So there'll be really no temple built. But that's not what Paul said. He's going to sit in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. This is going to be a man. A man. Who is he? I don't know, and you don't know, and neither does anyone else know who this man is. Notice, he will oppose all that is called God. He's going to lambast Islam, Christianity, Judaism, Hindus, Shinto, Sun, Young, Moon, Mormons, he's going to blast everybody and say, wait a minute, I am God. And he's going to do great wonders. Paul tells us there in verse 9 and 10, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth. If you reject true Bible teaching, you'll embrace false teaching. It's either right or wrong. Which will you embrace, the truth or a lie, right or wrong? It's like that in everything. It's light, it's dark. It's a.m., it's p.m. It's sheep, it's goats. It's right hand, it's left hand. This is the way God does it. God makes defined demarcations about everything, male and female. My left hand cannot do what my right hand does. They're the same, but they're opposite. You remember as a little kid, you put your shoes on backwards? I remember my children would come in and I'd look at them and I'd say, son or daughter, girl, you got your shoes on the wrong foot. You got to take them off. Change them around. Add a little levity to the program today. It doesn't matter whose God it is. The Antichrist is going to oppose all that is called God or that is worshiped, and he's going to say emphatically, without reservation, I am God. Just like Judas Iscariot, this man will sell his soul. Now, as we have previously taught, the Antichrist will have the endorsement of the false prophet. Here you have government and religion getting into the same bed. The government gets in the bed with the whore, Revelation 17:8, the mother of harlots. She's the mother of whores. Whoredom, harlotry. This is the false church. This is the substitutionary church that Satan is going to produce here in the time of the end. I think I said Revelation 17:8, Revelation 17:5. And upon her forehead, the harlot church, was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, and abominations of the earth. There's nothing more vile than having perversion and godliness, trying to taint holiness, righteousness, godliness with some kind of perversion. Any so-called pastor that will stand behind the sacred desk and declare abortion is all right, same-sex marriage is all right, sodomy is all right, that is a vile, wicked, sinful, debased, degraded person, and they're casting their lot with the devil, and that means hell is their destiny. Anybody that casts their lot with Joe Biden, don't tell me you are a Christian. Don't do that to me. Joshua 24:15, choose you this day whom you shall serve, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve God. You can't have it both ways. I think he would be a better leader than Donald Trump, so it's okay to murder. Listen to the craziness. Health care for all. You're going to see, if we keep going in this direction, you're going to see deterioration like you've never seen before. And I mean deterioration, just pure rot. You guys that are in construction, a floor joist, it may look perfect till you put a screwdriver in it, and it's just rotten. It ain't worth anything. Or let termites get into anything. They'll eat it, and on the outside it may look decent, but it's rotten to the core. There's nothing left. The Antichrist will have the endorsement of the false prophet. I've always believed, I maintain this, that idea to this day, that the Catholic Church, the Pope claims to be the vicar of Christ. He is going to be the one to embrace the Antichrist. These guys are going to be partners. That's why it's whoredom. It's harlotry. This political movement that's diabolical, blasphemous, satanic kingdom will get in bed with the mother of harlots. the mother of harlots. This whoredom spirit has birthed all the little Protestant daughters. And I'm a marvel. I'm amazed at how there are those that claim to be evangelicals, who claim to be Pentecostals, who claim to be charismatic, are now going back and aligning themselves with the Catholic Church. When Martin Luther said, it's wrong, and he came out. And now you want to go back. My God. And what concerns me when guys like me are dead and gone, who's going to be there to tell the next generation the pure unadulterated truth? Thank God for YouTube and videos and blog talk radio. These sermons, these teachings can be archived and go back and listen to them. The false prophet is for the purpose of helping the Antichrist. He's going to coerce humanity to make an image likened to the beast or the Antichrist. That is the abomination of desolation. And when you see it set up, or when you see it standing in the holy place, that's when you're going to know that is the revelation of the Antichrist, the abomination, and that revelation makes everything desolate. Everything's going to be destroyed when he goes in there and he does this. And it's going to be, I could be wrong, it'll be either in the holy place or the Holy of Holies. It'll be in one of the two places. One of the two places. Mark 13:14. But when ye shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing where it ought not. In other words, this statue is going to be put into a place where it's not supposed to be. That, my friend, is what causes the great tribulation period to commence, to start, to begin. That's the trigger point. That's when it takes place. Now, it will be the Antichrist who coerces humanity, just like the children of Israel coerced Aaron to make them a molten calf, a god, a statue, and they're going to, in return, worship and say, O Israel, these be thy gods which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Now, they made a molten calf. I've taught this before. They reverted back to their old ways. They reverted back to the past, the Egyptian ways. And there was a bull, a false god named Apis, A-P-I-S, Apis. And he was a deity. Of course, he was a fake deity, false deity. But nevertheless, that was the stature that they were trying to emulate, replicate. Now, Revelation 13:14 says, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast. Now, this is going to be compounded because the false prophet is going to do false signs and lying wonders as well. This is what's going to coerce the world to believe that the Antichrist is God. And the false prophet is going to say to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. Now, don't listen to these hooligans who tell you the Antichrist is shot and raised from the dead. The Bible does not teach that, though you've been told that by multitudes. There's a difference in a resurrection and a deadly wound being healed. And if you've ever read my book, Revelation chapter 13 Revealed, you know I teach it is a a ischemic stroke. There was a hooligan. I think he was in Cyprus. He claimed to be Elijah the prophet. And he obviously listened to my teachings. And when Ariel Sharon had his stroke and they were keeping him alive, he then declared Ariel Sharon was the Antichrist because he had an ischemic stroke. Now, where did I get that from? I'm glad you asked. Zechariah 11:17, woe to the idol shepherd, false shepherd, Antichrist, false god, idol, I-D-O-L, not I-D-L-E, like a car idling. It's an I-D-O-L, like a statue. Woe to the idle shepherd that leaveth the flock. The sword shall be upon his arm and upon his right eye. His arm shall be clean dried up, and his right eye shall be utterly darkened. Those are the characteristics of a stroke. There were even people who went as far as to say, Bob Dole. Remember Bob Dole? He had the wound in World War II, and he always carried a pen around in his hand like this. He had that was a wound from World War II. When you study out Revelation 13 like I did, therapeutis, all of these Greek words, and you take Zechariah 11:17, that's the symptoms, those are the characteristics of someone who's had a stroke. There, the Bible said the sword falls upon his arm and upon his right eye. His arm shall be clean dried up. In other words, it withers. It withers. And his right eye shall be utterly darkened. So the ischemic stroke cripples and paralyzes him on his right side. But now he has this miraculous healing because he is wounded. He's not killed. I'm telling you, it's amazing how many lies preachers preach about stuff. The Bible does not say the Antichrist is killed. He receives a deadly wound, but his wound is healed. There's a world of difference between a healing and a resurrection. Come on now. Jesus could have came earlier before Lazarus died and healed him. But he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. He waited till Lazarus died to get a greater miracle and a greater blessing for the people of God to believe that Jesus was the Christ, Jesus was the Messiah. Now, the Apostle Paul says that the Antichrist will sit in the temple of God and will declare himself to be God, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And with the endorsement of the Antichrist and with the power, signs, and lying wonders, man, they're going to gobble this up. The world is going to eat this up and say, this has to be God. It has to be. And when you have the deadly wound that is healed, just like Ariel Sharon, and again, everybody tries to make Bible prophecy fit their timeline. See? This guy, I don't know even what his name is. He's mailed me material before, and I just throw it in the trash can because he claimed he was, if I'm not mistaken, he claimed to be Elijah the prophet. But Ariel Sharon is dead, buried, and gone. So see, that was another false prophet, another false prophecy. If we would listen to the Bible, I'm not asking you to listen to me. I'm asking you to be like the Bereans and search the scriptures and see if these things are true, if they're correct. If it's correct, number one, it'll bear witness with you, and you will say, now that makes more sense to me than what so-and-so is saying over here. Because I'm telling you right now, I mean, there's scores and scores. The Antichrist is ready to be revealed, ready to be revealed. You know, I really feel sad for a lot of you listeners out there. You've been betrayed. You've been misled. People have made money off of you. They've taken advantage of you. I'll say this. They don't pray for you. They don't intercede for you. They just want you to send them money. I had a gentleman, I may have mentioned it, some weeks ago wrote me a letter. He sent $20. His wife is down to 70 pounds. In his letter he said, would you please call me and my wife and pray with us? I'm a busy man, but you know what I did? I called that man, and I spoke to his wife. She's down to 70 pounds at that time. This has been several weeks ago. He wept. He said, I knew you would call me. I knew you're the kind of man you would call me. Oh, it's easy to call somebody if they send you a check for $1,000. Oh, yeah. $20? Just that's not enough for me. I'm not wasting my time on a $20. But I called and I prayed with both the husband and wife. See, I'm a minister. I'm not a hooligan. I'm not a charlatan. I'm not a pretender. I take your prayer request to God. I do. I sincerely do. I call your names in prayer. I do these things. Why? There's a responsibility to being called of God. I'm not in this for notoriety. I'm not in this to be a big name. The Lord said to me in the spirit of the day, he said, you have preacher celebrities today. You talk about Hollywood celebrities. You got Christian celebrities. Oh, if I get just like the guy in New York, Justin Bieber. Justin Bieber broke him down. He broke the pastor down. The pastor didn't break Justin down. Justin broke him down. And getting drunk and tequila and having a marital affair with another woman. Listen, as a godly, godly, godly man, you have to know where to draw the boundary lines and never dare cross them. Never allow yourself to cross those boundary lines. Because as I've said, you break through that membrane, you may never get back to where you were. That's one of the great revelations God showed me about breaking spiritual membranes. When Samson broke that membrane, they bored out his eyes. But he was humbled. In spite of his calamity, he said, God, I pray thee only this once, remember me, that I may be avenged for my two eyes. Do you think if Samson knew when he broke through that membrane and they were going to bore out his eyes, he would have ever told Delilah where his strength was? No, he wouldn't have. But see, the devil, he never lets you see the bad stuff until it's destroyed you. Then he lets you see it. He lets you see it. I thank God so many times for his mighty keeping power on my personal life. If it weren't for the grace of God, such were I. But I know God has spared me and protected me and kept his hand and covering over me to keep me. Because I do think about the end results. See, there's thousands that listen to the voice of evangelism. Now, we don't have thousands that support us by no means, but they listen because they know it's the truth. But they don't support us. But they know if they tune in, they're going to hear Bible. Bible, 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 Bible. That's what we're supposed to do, is preach the Bible. My time is almost gone. I'm not going to try to get into Revelation 11, verses 1 and 2, about the temple of God. You see, things must be in place for Scripture to be fulfilled. And we're going to talk about that next week, Monday, about the temple. Just like the 10 kings, the 10 federation kings, they have to come on the scene. The Antichrist cannot come on the scene and them not exist. See? It don't work like that. I honestly don't understand men any longer. I know the problem. They don't pray. They don't fast. They don't cry out to God. It's a business. The day the voice of evangelism becomes a business, you could say Pastor Lankford's backslid. It's not a business. This is ministry. This is ministry. And it'll never be treated as a business. Yes, we have to run it in the context of one, paying the bills, all the people, the staff, power bill, cable bills, telephone bill, radio stations, Blog Talk Radio, WWCR, all of those things, the paper, the ink, the printers, all the stuff it takes to run the ministry. But it's not a business to me. It's ministry. It's ministry. And ministers are not only failing the people, they're failing themselves because they're not taking care of their own souls. See, this pastor of Hillsong Church in New York, God bless him. God help him. He didn't take care of his own soul. He's drinking tequila every week, getting drunk, and sleeping with another woman. Sad, isn't it? Sad. And they said people would line up on the streets to get into his church. Listen, the way is straight, the way is narrow. Few there be that find it. As I've said hundreds of times, when you read the word many in your Bible, more times than not, 98% of the time, it's not in a good application. It's a negative application. Negative. But see, they think, oh, this is a Christian celebrity. I dare not consider myself to be a celebrity. I've been offered an honorary doctorate degree. And people have accidentally, God bless them, written the voice of evangelism and said, Dr. David Lankford, I do not have a doctorate degree. I just have a high school diploma, and that's it. That's all I have. But I do have, and I have spent time at the School of Neology. K-N-E-E-O-L-O-G-Y. Neology. This is where you get the great riches of God. On your knees, crying out to God, and God is a God of revelation when we seek Him with all of our heart. He said, you'll find me. You'll find me. And you'll find the truths that help people and set people free. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your support. Thank you for your prayers and standing with us. It is by your love and spiritual gifts that keep us on the air to bring to you the Word of God. Thank you. God bless you. Have a great week. What's left of it. We'll see you next week in the Lord Jesus Christ. And may He forever order your steps in the most holy word.
Voice of Evangelism with David Lankford is brought to you by the faithful listeners and supporters throughout America. If you're looking for an uncompromising message, we invite you to tune in each week to the Voice of Evangelism. For more information, write to the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. That's P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020.